Hello and welcome back to Neely's Bend Baptist Church's Sermon Archive. I'm Austin Jones, the pastor here at Neely's Bend Baptist Church in Madison, Tennessee, and I'm so grateful you've taken the opportunity to listen to our sermons here at Neely's Bend. At Neely's Bend, our mission is that we want to equip people with the gospel so they can live in worship of God and one another fellowship and on mission by making disciples. My hope is that these sermons from Neely's Bend Baptist Church will encourage you with the gospel to live on mission and one another fellowship and in worship of God. If you have any questions about the gospel or Neely's Bend Baptist Church, please feel free to email us at nbbc@neelysbendbaptist.org. Thanks, and we hope you have a great week.
This morning, if you have your copy of God's Word, we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 18 through 24. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 18 through 24. And to give you a moment to get there, we are kind of coming into a new section of Scripture. And so for these next couple of Sundays, we're going to be talking about the unshakable kingdom, of how we are a part of the kingdom that cannot be shaken. And so in this first part of this series, we're going to be talking about how we have come to Zion. Come to Zion. And so, if you're there, begin reading here in verse 18 of chapter 12, and the Word of God says this: "For you have not come to what may be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest, and the sound of the trumpet and a voice whose words make the hearers beg that no further message be spoken to them. For they could not endure the order that was given. If even a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, 'I tremble with fear.' But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel." Let us pray. God, this morning we come to you and we're just so thankful for your word, God. So thankful of how you have taught us about New Zion and how we have come to the New Zion. And God, as we learn about that today, God, I just pray that you just help us to see the beauty and the grandeur and the greatness of New Zion, heaven. God, we long for that. God, this morning, I just pray that you will help me to preach with simplicity, with clarity and passion, and God, that I preach nothing but your word and your truth alone. God, I pray that you help us to clear our minds of all distractions so we can focus and hear what you have to say to us this morning. Because this word is so, so powerful. And so, so good for us. God, this morning we thank you for Jesus and his death on the cross and how he shed his blood for us so that we can have eternal life and be in New Zion with you, God. God, we thank you for Jesus. We pray all this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. It all culminates here. It all culminates here. The whole book of Hebrews has been leading up to this passage. We spent the last year almost looking at the book of Hebrews, and the whole of it is leading up to this passage. This is the climax of the book. It begins by telling us that God has spoken to us through His Son, Jesus. And then He talks about how Jesus is better and supreme than the angels, better than Moses, better than Joshua. We read that Jesus brings a better rest than what the people of Israel had in the land of promise, Canaan. We also saw that Jesus is better than all the priests of the Old Testament because Jesus is our great high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And in Jesus being our great high priest, he ushers in a new covenant, a new and better covenant. And this new and better covenant is better because Jesus' sacrifice was better. And that it was once and for all who would ever believe and trust in Jesus as Savior. And in His sacrifice, His bloodshed is better than all the blood that was shed from animals under the old covenant. His blood is better because it fully atones for sins. His blood paid the price in full. All the while, as the author is demonstrating that Jesus is better to this early Hebrew church that's being persecuted, he is encouraging them to believe in Jesus, to trust in Jesus, and for those that have believed and have trusted in Jesus to continue believing, to continue trusting in Him, to continue to have and live with full assurance of faith. Which is why we get chapter 11, the Hall of Faith. It's demonstrators of people who lived and persevered with faith and were commended for their faith. Saved because of their faith in God. And then he points them to Jesus and explains how we should run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of faith, and how even He persevered in faith all the way to the cross of Calvary, so that we can have salvation. And as we have saw in these last few sermons, these last few passages, we don't grow weary in the running. We endure the discipline, the instruction of the Lord. We lift up these drooping hands. We strengthen our weak knees. We strive for peace and holiness, and we walk alongside our brothers and sisters in Christ, encouraging them, seeing to it that no one, that none of them fall away from Christ. And now, because Jesus is better, because Jesus is greater, because of the salvation that we have in Jesus, because of the faith we have in Jesus, we can continue to run the race with endurance. We have come to a better mountain, Mount Zion, heaven. And for this early Hebrew church that has been beaten and battered by the waves of persecution and suffering, the author is pointing them, he's pointing them to Zion. And he is saying that Zion is better than Sinai. Have you ever been in a place in life where it was just hard? Extremely challenging, maybe even depressing at times. Life was just beating you up and you could see the light at the end of a tunnel. Just a little bit, it was there dimly. But though you could see it, you know what you did? You ran toward that light, didn't you? You just ran toward it knowing that when you got there, it would be better, right? The author today is telling this Hebrew church, is telling us to look to Zion, to run to Zion, knowing that we have already but not yet come to Zion because it is better. It's better. The author today is telling this Hebrew church to look to Zion, to run there. And we can rest in the comfort of knowing that we have come to Zion, that Zion is ours, that Zion is our future eternal home, that Zion is where our Savior Jesus is. The early Hebrew church, with so many wanting to turn and run back to their old ways, they needed to hear this. They needed to hear that they have come to Zion, and because of that, they should run looking to Zion. And church, even today, I believe, we still need to hear and know that we have come to Zion, and we should run our lives looking to Zion, going to Zion. The author, he's not quite finished with the running illustration that he started in chapter 12, verse 1. He told us to run with endurance the race that is set before us. The race that is set before us, church. You know where it ends? It ends in Zion. Therefore, in our sermon today, we're going to see three reasons. Three reasons why Zion is better than Mount Sinai, and why we should ultimately run to Zion. So the first one that we see, Mount Zion is better because it is our eternal home. It's better because it's our eternal home. Now before we get to why Mount Zion is better, we first need to understand that we have not come to Mount Sinai and what Mount Sinai is. We read in verse 18, I believe I might have it here. Maybe not. Nope, I don't have it. But you read in verse 18 that we have not come to a place we can touch. We have not come to what may be touched. And this reference is what may be touched is a reference to Mount Sinai. Now, does anyone remember what happened in the book of Exodus at Mount Sinai? Anybody? Take a stab at it. What you got, Braxton?
Didn't Moses give the Ten Commandments?
He did. Bring us the Ten Commandments there, right? Yeah. He did. He brought us the Ten Commandments. That was where God came down on Mount Sinai and spoke to the people of Israel, giving them the Ten Commandments. And there's so much more that came there. But God came and He met with Moses at Mount Sinai and gave them the law, the Ten Commandments. And the author is pointing this early Hebrew church to Mount Sinai. He wants them to look back and remember and recall Mount Sinai. And what exactly happened there? We read this in Exodus chapter 19 and 20. And verses 18 through 21 in our passage sum it up for us. God had spoken to Moses and told him that He was going to come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people of Israel. And nothing, no animal, no person of Israel was to touch that mountain. Because if they did, they would be killed. And then God, He would come down on Mount Sinai, thunder and lightning, a storm wrapped the mountain, the trumpet blasted for all to hear, and increasingly gets louder and louder and louder. Smoke is plummeting up the mountain, off the top of it, as the Lord had come down in fire. The ground trembled. And God spoke. His voice bellowing down the mountain, giving the people of Israel the Ten Commandments. And when the people of Israel saw all that was happening, they heard the voice of God, they feared, they were afraid, and they trembled. And when the people saw and heard all that, they would go to Moses and they would say, "Hey, we don't want to listen to God anymore. We don't want to hear God's voice anymore. We only want to listen to you, Moses. Can you tell Him to speak to you and then you speak to us?" They were fearful for their lives. Church, I think I would have been the same. I think I would have been trembling. I'd have been right there with the Israelites looking up, seeing the mountain, hearing the voice of God, hearing the blasting trumpet. I would have been trembling with fear too. I think we all would be. But why? Because Mount Sinai represented God's infinite power. It represented His almightiness. It represented Him expressing His power to Israel. But that's not it. It also represented His holiness. The mountain was consecrated because God is holy and He cannot associate with unholiness. The people couldn't touch the mountain because their unholiness would have killed them. And then God gave them the Ten Commandments, commandments of how to live what? Holy, right? They were awestruck and trembling with fear at His awesome power and His holiness. And because of God's holiness and the people's unholiness, God was not accessible. They couldn't come to the mountain because their unholiness did not allow them to have access to God. It reminded the early Hebrew church of the Old Covenant, that under the Old Covenant, God was not accessible. They couldn't go into the tabernacle. They couldn't go into the temple where God's glory was. They couldn't enter into His presence. And the author is pointing out this to this early Hebrew church, that this is not what they have come to. This is not what they have come to. You have not come to Mount Sinai in church. Guess what? The same is true for us. We have not come to Mount Sinai. But rather, as verse 22 says, we have come to Mount Zion. Mount Zion is different. Mount Zion is better. There's a stark contrast made here between these two mountains. Is God still holy? Is God still powerful? You bet He is. But because we're in the new covenant, as verse 24 says, Mount Zion is different, and Mount Zion is better. So now the first reason why Mount Zion is better is why we should run is because it's our eternal home. Unlike Mount Sinai, Mount Zion is a spiritual place. It is a heavenly place, a place that we cannot touch. Remember, Mount Sinai was physical. It was a physical place, a physical mountain. You could go there and touch it. You can still go there and touch the mountain even today. Now, there's also a physical Mount Zion, in case you don't know, in Jerusalem. Mount Zion is where the temple of God was built there in Jerusalem. And over time, the temple and Mount Zion and Jerusalem would become synonymous with one another. And so whenever you said Jerusalem, people heard Zion. And when you said Zion, people heard Jerusalem. Does that make sense? That was how closely linked they were. They were so synonymous. In this physical place, Jerusalem, Zion, was known as a place of promise and peace. But the Zion that our author is speaking of here, the Zion that we're reading about right here in chapter 12, it is a spiritual place of promise and peace. It is heavenly. It's why the author says we have come to heavenly Jerusalem. We've come to the city of the living God. It is the eternal city because our God is the living God. He's never going to pass away. He's never going to fade away. And this means that because God is eternal, guess what? Our home in heaven is eternal too. Our home is forever. Zion is for all eternity. And in this eternal city, in this place where it is a place where innumerable angels have gathered in worship of God, gathered in festivity. To gather in festal gathering, as it says right here. In the Old Testament, when people gathered a festival or in festivity, the gathering was to worship God, to give worship to God. And so when we read the angels here gathering and in festal gathering, it means they are there worshiping God. And as verse 23 continues, we will come to the spirits of righteous made perfect. This is simply a reference to all that have come to Zion or all that will come to Zion. Every single spirit that enters into Zion will be a perfected spirit. It will be people who have believed and who were made perfect in Christ. Made righteous in Christ. And one day, we as firstborns, as children of God, as believers of God, we will join these angels in worship and praise. We will join them because, as our passage says here, we are enrolled in heaven. Our names are written there. We are members of heaven as believers, and nothing can erase that name, church, because in Jesus you have been perfected and made righteous through Him, and God, and those that God saves, He doesn't release. He holds them for all of eternity. Our names are written in heaven, and when the roll is called up yonder, you know who's going to be there? All that are written in heaven. And now maybe you're wondering, is my name there? Is my name enrolled in Zion, written in heaven? Am I a member of heaven? Those are great questions to be asking yourself, because this is serious stuff. Your life after death, your eternity in heaven rests on whether your name is written there or not. And friends, I have to tell you this morning that there is only one way. There's only one way to have your name written in heaven. The world may tell you there's multiple pathways to God, multiple pathways to heaven, multiple ways to get up to the mountain. But God's Word teaches there's only one way. John 14:6, Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." The way, the only way to have your name written in heaven and to become a member of heaven is through Jesus Christ. He is the way, He is the truth, He is the life. No one can come to the Father, no one can come to heaven, no one can have their name written there unless they have been saved through Christ. Friend, we as humanity have a horrid problem. We are separated from God. God is holy, we are not. We are sinners, and sinners are condemned to the wrath of God in hell. But God in His goodness, God in His love, He paved a way to heaven. He created a bridge to heaven, and it is a one-way street. Because the only way to get there is through His very own Son, Jesus Christ. He sent His Son to die on the cross and pay the price of death to endure the wrath of God that we so deserved. So that we can be saved. So that you can be saved. Friend, Jesus is the only way. And this morning, if you feel God calling you, drawing you to Himself, I just want to encourage you to submit yourself to Him by taking this moment right here, right now, to repent of your sins against God. And believe in the gospel of Jesus. Believe that Jesus was born of a virgin. Believe that Jesus lived a sinless, perfect life. Believe that Jesus died a sacrificial death on the cross of Calvary. Believe that Jesus was buried in a tomb, and on the third day He was resurrected. The Bible says if you repent of your sins and believe in the gospel of Jesus, believe in the works of Jesus, the only way to the Father, you will be saved. Your name will be written in heaven. If that's you this morning, I just want to encourage you to find someone to talk to about this decision you're making. Find a faithful friend or a faithful family member, or even come and talk to me about this decision you're making after the service today, about what it means to believe and follow and trust in Jesus. Church, we have come to Zion, our eternal home. Therefore, we should always be running to Zion. When life gets hard, when life gets tough, when persecution happens, when suffering comes, when tragedies strike, just keep running to your eternal home in Zion. Just keep going. Find comfort in knowing that Zion, that heaven is coming, and it will be for all of eternity. Our problems here on this earth are nothing. Nothing compared to eternity in heaven. So this leads us to our second reason. Mount Zion is better because we have access to God and don't have to fear His judgment. Because we are with God and we don't have to fear His judgment. We just discussed how Zion is our eternal home. Therefore, if Zion is our eternal home, it means that we are there with who? With God. Which is why verse 23 goes on to say, we have come to, right there in the middle, to God, the judge of all. We have come to God. If you remember, at Mount Sinai, the people, they didn't have access to God. They couldn't go to the mountain. They couldn't touch the mountain. They were told to stay off of Mount Sinai. If anyone, any animal even, touched the mountain, they would be killed. His holiness, His judgment would come upon them immediately and they would die. But here in the description of Mount Zion, we are told that we as believers, guess what? We will be where? Right there with God. Do you see the difference between Mount Sinai and Mount Zion? Mount Sinai, the Old Covenant, no access to God. The Mount Zion and the New Covenant, we have access to God. We can go to Him. We can talk to Him. We will be in the presence of God for all of eternity as believers. We will be there with Him in Zion forever. But you know what? Unlike the people at Mount Sinai fearing the judgment of God, we don't have to fear the judgment of God. We don't have to worry about God's judgment on us because if we have believed, if we have trusted in Jesus as Savior and Lord, we have been deemed holy. We have been deemed righteous. We have been deemed justified in Christ. And thus, we can approach God. We can go to Him. Because when God looks at us, He doesn't see unholiness. He doesn't see sin. He sees Jesus in us. Our sins have been removed. Our sins, He remembers no more. Our sins have been cast as far as the east is from the west. And we can boldly approach God because He is a God of grace and mercy and love to those that have been perfected in Christ. Therefore, that means we don't have to live our lives in fear of what God might do to us in judgment day because of either serious sin before salvation or even sin after salvation, as long as you don't continue to live in that. Now, if you continue to live in unrepentant sin, then that's a different story. We need to have some conversations and talk about that. But for those of us that have been forgiven in Christ, who have trusted Him and been perfected in Him, we don't have to fear the judgment of God. Will there still be judgment? There will be for us. We'll be judged for what we did do or didn't do. But as far as our salvation, the judgment's already been put on Christ. We are no longer judged. Therefore, we don't have to live that. Doesn't mean we go on sinning willfully. Doesn't mean we just keep doing it. But God's not going to hold it against us if we make a mistake, and we can still, with confidence, go to God. Because as our final reason proves to us, the blood of Jesus has washed us clean. So, the third reason why Mount Zion is better is because Jesus is better. Mount Zion is better because Jesus is better. Read with me, verse 24 here. And to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. The whole letter of Hebrews has been rising to this point. To this verse, really, to this is the culmination of Hebrews right here. Mount Sinai is not like Mount Zion because at Mount Zion we have come to Jesus. We have come to the one who fulfilled the law that was given at Mount Sinai. We have come to the one who ushered in the new covenant and does away with the old covenant. We have come to our mediator as the one who was there in heaven with God, mediating and interceding for us. It's because of Christ's mediation that we don't have to fear the judgment of God. He is there mediating because He shed His blood on the cross of Calvary for our sins, for our salvation. His blood is better than Abel's, because Abel's animal sacrifice, guess what? It didn't wash away sin. It didn't atone for the sins of the world. But praise be to God that the blood of Jesus, guess what it does? It washes away sin and it saves souls. That's why we're able to sing the song, "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. Oh, other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus." Right? It's why we can sing, "Jesus paid it all." It's why we can sing, "Are you washed in the blood?" It's why we can sing at Calvary. It's why we can sing of the old rugged cross. It's why we can sing, "There is a fountain filled with blood." It's why we can sing, "There is power in the blood." It's why we can sing, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness." Church, it is by the blood of Christ that we are saved, and it's by the blood of Christ that we even get to go to Zion at all. Zion is better because Jesus is better. This whole letter has been demonstration after demonstration after demonstration of how Jesus is better, Jesus is greater, and now because Jesus is better, we have come to Zion. Come to Zion. This morning, we've seen three reasons why Mount Zion is better. Mount Zion is better because it's our eternal home. Mount Zion is better because we have access to God. We can go to God. We're with God and we don't have to fear His judgment. Mount Zion is better because Jesus is better. And church, I just want to close with a few final thoughts here on some things I haven't really just had the opportunity to talk about yet, because it didn't flow well. But the first is this. We are in the already, but not yet. We're already there, but not yet there. Does that make sense? So if you go back and you read verse 22, he says, "But you have come to Zion." You have come to Zion. He wrote, "We have come to Mount Zion." We aren't coming to Mount Zion. We aren't going to Mount Zion. We aren't traveling to Mount Zion. You see what he's see what he's saying here? He said, "We have come to Mount Zion." As if we are already where? there. Church, this is us. For those of us that believed in Jesus Christ, we are already there at Mount Zion. This is how sure and true our eternal life is. This is how sure and true the promise is. It's as if we are already there. But at the same time, we're all still sitting here, ain't we? So we're not yet there. As Christians, we live in this already but not yet time. We are there, but we're not yet there. The fullness of heaven has not yet come to us. But this means something. We should live as if we are already there, joining the angels in worship. We should live as if we are already there, but not yet. And it should change how we live our lives. Just think about it for a moment. Is there sin in heaven? There's not, isn't there? There's no sin in heaven, absolutely not. Therefore, if we are to live like we are already there, we're going to be less prone to sin, more likely to live holy lives, ain't we? Because if you wouldn't do it in heaven, should we be doing it here on earth? Here's the second thing. If we are already experiencing the glories of Mount Zion, why would we want to run back to the old things? Why would we want to go back to those things? The early Hebrew church, they had people that were wanting to run back to Mount Sinai, to go back to the law and the old covenant in order to get out of persecution and ultimately just for their own comfort. Doing what you've done for a long time is comforting, isn't it? Church, in Christ, we have been changed. In Christ, we have been renewed. In Christ, we are a new creation. The old has washed away. Therefore, we must not run back to the old us. It may be comfortable. It may bring satisfaction, but Zion is better. Zion brings eternal comfort and peace, and it brings complete and whole satisfaction. We're not going to be wanting anything in Zion. So don't run back to your old way of life. Don't run back to your sin. Don't run back to your addiction, your alcoholism, your pornography addiction, your greed, your pride, your lust, whatever it is. Don't run back to it. Go to Zion. Because you're already there, but you're not yet there. Let's pray. Dear God, we're just so thankful this morning that You have gifted us, Lord, eternal life through Jesus Christ, as You say in Romans chapter 6, 23. God, may we remember this gift of eternal life all the days of our life, of how Jesus has paid the price, how by His bloodshed, Lord, we have been saved, and now we can go to Zion. Have eternal life in heaven with You. Have access to You. We can approach You, God. We can come to You boldly because You're a throne of grace and mercy. God, this morning, help us to live our lives running to Zion, finding comfort in Zion, not turning back to the old ways, not turning back to the things of the past, but turning to You and holiness and righteousness, because You've saved our souls. God, we thank You for Zion this morning. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.